Hey everyone, it is episode 481 of This Is Whole Life. We are on a special Saturday edition because we have travelers in our midst and they must be off. The journey must begin, so we must be an early edition, which is fine. We'll get this done on Saturday. It doesn't matter to you. It's still Wednesday, wherever you are. If you are an early adopter, which I wanted to give a quick shout out to Scott Causey and his family, we now officially have our first official sponsor of the podcast.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
He is.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Is he paying your salary now?
Well, you might have to talk to Scott about that, how much extra he's willing to do. But he approached me this morning, and he brought us some coffee beans last week. Mm-hmm. And so he said, how many people on the podcast drink coffee? I said, well, there's three of us for sure. And, you know, who knows? We might make a convert out of Ken sometime in the future.
Doubtful.
Probably not.
Doubtful.
Doubtful.
I made it 50 years.
He made 50 years. He doesn't need to start now.
Have enough bad habits.
So, Scott is going to make sure we are caffeinated every episode with special coffee from a local roaster.
Oh, very
and,
nice.
Scott, you are awesome, and right? We love you.
I know.
And Karen, too.
So, if anybody's listening to this and would like to be the donut sponsor, that is that is a habit that I do partake of, and yeah. Just saying.
So, yeah. So, usually it's Tuesday afternoon that we do. So, you know, you drop by at lunch and drop off what you need to. It's cool. So we already got we started this week with culinary because.
Can we do a pizza sponsor after that?
And then, could we? How about a sandwich sponsor?
I'm hungry.
A massage sponsor.
I'm starving. Emily looked at the smoothie in the truck and this morning on the way in and she was like, is that mine or yours? And I'm like, it's yours.
She's like, it is
like,
now.
Oh, good. And I was like, yeah, good, good, good. So if you are a first-time listener, we are a podcast from the Whole Life Church here in Orlando, Florida. Every week we dig a little bit deeper into the message of this week. And like I said, it's a different than usual edition, but that's okay. And we would hope that the conversation includes your voice. So you can do that by emailing us at podcast@wholelife.church or voicemail text 407-965-1607. So, and as always, there are four of us. There is to my right is our lead pastor, Ken Wetmore. And next to his right, let's go around the table this time, is Melanie Bachman, our worship pastor. Across the table from her is Lucas Morais, and I'm Randy McGray, and that's the four. So, Ken, I have got bad news.
That was last week.
I'm afraid not, sir. Just pay attention. We'll get to that. I'm on paper this week, guys. You can hear the rustling and the sound.
Old school.
Me. Yeah, that's old school. Hmm. Our email begins with, hi, Randy. As I listened to this week's podcast, I was disappointed on two accounts. First, you all did not have enough consideration of the culinary considerations. Mm. Just saying. Laugh out loud. Second, when the discussion turned to episode 500 and where to have it, I was disappointed that no one brought up Mooney Ponds VIC.
Victoria?
Mm-hmm. If Guam is a possibility, why wouldn't a place like Mooney Ponds, Myra, and my home be a possibility? We've got a great space with an intimate backyard and walled garden that we can open up to our great room. In addition, we have all of Melbourne, Australia to offer for sightseeing and entertainment. Within a 10-minute walk, you can access all of the public transportation options, Greater Melbourne, a larger number, at least 25 to 30 restaurants, and many, even most, are very good to excellent with almost every cuisine imaginable. Okay, skip the Mexican, but we have it. And let me tell you, the coffee culture here is amazing. In a 10-minute stroll, there are at least half a dozen local coffee shops. Okay.
But wow. Donut shops. What's that?
My mouth is watering. Thank you. Let me also add that the Australian Open runs from January 12th through February 1st. So for sports fans, tennis fans in particular, this would be as good as you can get for episode 500. That should fall about a week prior. Stay over a week, and one can easily catch a few first-round matches. I have attached pictures.
This is a brilliant. I wonder what's wrong with us.
We got the whole brochure. Wow. That's beautiful. Okay.
So, yeah. I have attached pictures of the great room and garden of our house. I'd suggest that you do a quick map search of the area for all the restaurants and coffee shops. Make sure you zoom in close, as there are so many you will miss them if you don't zoom in.
This is done. We're on this.
I'm sold.
Randy, do you have any contacts at Qantas that we can work a sponsorship for our Flights over, that sounds pretty great.
So just think, while you're here, you can see wild kangaroos with a bit of a drive, koalas, and maybe even a platypus. For those who are birders, there's an opportunity to add a whole continent's worth of unique birds to their list. For those who are into the arts, Melbourne is the heart of the Australian art scene. And, oh, and, you know, we are but an hour or so from the Southern Ocean. Yes, it's a thing. Trust me on this, we have way more, and this is the bad news, than Guam.
You know what, Randy?
He was with you up until there.
No, I accept this. I accept what you're, and I accept the challenge for it to be proved.
Oh.
So now all we have to do is figure out how to come up with, I don't know, $12,000 to get us all there. do we have podcast equipment already there, or we're going to have to pack it up?
We could get all this in one nice suitcase.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
We'll find a way.
Yeah. We'll do this on our iPhone if you must.
How much are tickets? Has anybody looked that up lately? What flights are out to Melbourne?
Anyway, after the challenge, we finish with, of course, in true Randy fashion, all the best, Randy.
So, that's nice. Awesome.
Yes. So I laughed.
You
all
set
the
that
through.
Up as if that was bad news. That was really good news. I like that.
I didn't know how you were going to handle the Guam, so I just wanted to.
It's okay. I mean,
you know.
You know what? I accept the challenge. I mean, I haven't been to Melbourne. I don't know. And I wouldn't want to be so presumptuous as to think that, you know, that my best place on earth could not be.
What about the snakes, Randy?
That could be.
I am definitely. I don't like. I mean, I usually jump back in the house when I see the black racer.
Yeah.
So I don't.
I'm with you on that.
I don't.
I nearly passed out a week or two ago when a snake came running at me from when I was mowing the lawn, and nearly passed out right there on the spot.
Pretty sure he was trying to get away from you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't. He was. All snakes are vile and evil and trying to kill me. Yeah.
They are not.
They are.
I found what I think was a queen snake in my yard the other day.
You guys became friends?
You know what?
Well, we talked.
I don't even bother knowing the difference between snakes. They're just a snake. Stay
it's
away.
A lot more
just
I'm running
stay
over.
Away.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not. That's like terrifying. What if it like splatters up into you? I mean, what if it? What if the head
off.
Is gets severed and bites you in the face when it's coming? I mean, I just pass. I run or pass out one or the other.
No, I don't usually go after them.
Wow.
My wife does.
So you like snakes, Melanie?
I mean, they're not my favorite thing, but I have an appreciation for them.
Because of their good looks, their...
Well, I mean, they are creatures that have been created.
All right, Eve.
Wow.
Okay. All right. I see how this is going to go down.
Whoa, way to throw down the biblical.
At least I didn't throw in apple of my eye in reference to the Garden of Eden like you did during rehearsal the other day.
You know what, Melanie? What happens in rehearsal is supposed to stay in rehearsal, but
it really is
you know
the good
what?
News this week, isn't it?
it's a good thing you're super valuable, Melanie.
It's a spicy Saturday showdown, folks, right here on the podcast. I like it. And speaking of the good news, last week was the bad news, a little two-part series that we all voted on last week, and I'm just going to kudos you guys up again. Ken gave everybody kudos in first service this morning for choosing the bad news first. However, I kind of felt his pain when he was like, but I was really hoping guys were going to, like, one of y'all would have picked, like let's do the bad news first at first service, and then... Let's, you know, follow that up with second could have voted for the good news. And then you could have, because I was kind of hoping we were going to do the bad and the good.
Right.
And that way you could have flexed that double sermon.
Yeah, that double sermon.
All right. I feel like this is where I need to testify. I did hear both sermons Friday before last. So I did hear both.
You guys,
I can testify that sermon, that both sermons existed because I heard them. Yeah. So there you go.
Now, I did have an extra week, so I was like, why not make it even better? So I worked on it a little bit this week anyway. So
changed it was up. Better this week.
You mean more prep time?
She doesn't know whether it would have been better or not because a lot of things change between rehearsal and when it actually shows up.
If I had a dollar for every time I was standing in the back thinking, where is he going? Huh, where's he going? I don't know.
I don't remember that from rehearsal.
So sometimes the best roads are the ones you aren't anticipating.
Oh, my.
The shortcuts. I love it.
A prophet is never appreciated.
And this isn't even your hometown.
I know, right? Yeah, prophets aren't appreciating their hometown, and Ken's just not appreciated anywhere. So.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Woe is me.
We need to cue the mini violins. Oh, man. So the good news, the gospel was good news before, and I don't know if I ever heard this before, but the gospel was good news before the gospel was the good news.
There are a lot of Greek words that are that way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it just a...
Well, there are words that were just in normal language that people used that then were adopted for religious purposes. And now we put a religious nuance on top of them that didn't previously exist.
I mean, because I think even people that aren't Christian understand that when you hear the good news from someone, it could possibly mean, at least at minimum, it could possibly mean, are they referencing the good news?
The good news
or the good news?
A good news, the good news.
I think it's the way you say it, maybe, is whether or not it's the good news. Or
usually it's the that gives it away. The good news versus I've got good news.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I always check to see if the G and the N are capitalized, and that's how I know.
How do you do that when somebody's talking to you?
I'm just kidding.
That's the good news.
I thought you were onto some new technology.
But knowing that, and then to know how odd it would be once the writers of the gospel start appropriating this from Rome, which is amazing, and from Caesar. Like, was there not any blowback for this? It seems like if you would mess with Caesar, there must be, like, a price to pay for this.
I mean, they did persecute
there
Christians.
There was a period of time where Christians were being, you know, put into the Colosseum. So yes, it was.
But I mean, like, it seems like something like this almost seems like a complete affront.
Like blasphemous?
Yeah. Like, no, we're just, if you even say it and then even just remotely give the idea that you're referencing someone other than Caesar, it seems like they would throw you in and let you.
And also, to be fair, the Gospels were written quite a bit after the actual events.
Yeah.
So maybe they felt a little bit safer to do it then. But
I don't know. Gospel of Mark was written around 70. Don't most scholars agree on that?
Yeah, probably. Mark is probably the earliest gospel that was written.
So that would have been about 40 years after.
Yeah, but still that's 40 years later. There are lots of things we can talk about that happened, you know, in the it was 40 years ago in the 80s. Oh, my.
I don't know. That's vivid to me. I don't know.
That light bulb just went on with the flash.
Yeah, you just watched Melanie kind of
was that the
shrivel.
Right, exactly.
But I think that's one of the interesting things that we, like Ken mentioned in the sermon this morning, we totally miss it. We think Jesus wasn't political. We think the Bible's not political. And it absolutely is. We just don't hear it the way that they would have heard it. I mean, if somebody talks today about, you know, red hats or, you know, rainbows or whatever, everybody's going to automatically click into what we're talking about. Whereas, you know, a couple thousand years from now, they might not get the whole red hat or rainbow thing.
Yeah, it's like in an interview when you tell someone, look, you know, you're not going to hear my voice. So if I ask you what your favorite color is and you say, you know, red, and you just as a response without saying red's my favorite color, people are going to have no idea. There's no context. I thought it was weird, though, that the way, if you looked at it, the same thing today, is there an example today of like the same kind of thing where people would just be like, you guys are crazy. This is what this means. And then it's Caesar.
Do you have social media, Randy?
No, but I mean, but like in a political, like Caesar.
Like Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
Appropriating Donald Trump's.
Yeah, I guess.
Online media stuff like that. You mean like that? You're trying to come with the, are you trying to actually come up with the like Christian equivalent of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that some people, I don't know if they're like, I'm trying to think about, are there words that we have appropriated as Christians from pop culture
Yeah, just thinking of what those might.
But the interesting thing is that because Christianity in the United States, the Christianity in the United States tends to be the more mainstream. And so what's interesting is music is probably one of those areas where there is a lot of back and forth of appropriation from one group to another group. One group will take this style of music and kind of build off of it or replicate it. And I think, there's so many different ways. And again, as Christians, because we're the dominant culture in the United States, we don't tend to appropriate as much as you would if you were a minority culture in a place where you're going to pick up. So let's go ahead and use when Christianity was a minority culture in the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire. The way that we do sermons today is not based off of biblical principles. It's actually based off of Greek rhetoric. That is, even in theological seminaries, a lot of the, and Melanie, you're actually the expert on this, so I shouldn't even be talking about it in your presence, but a lot of what we teach in homiletics is really based off of Greek rhetoric versus like, well, no, this is how Jesus prepared sermons.
Right.
Because if you look at how Jesus preached, right, or shared the gospel, shared the good news, very parable-driven, for the most part, very story. And often when it really explain it, we kind of have, when you're kind of starting off preaching, the basic idea is you create a thesis statement. You're going to go ahead and give, three things to support it, restate it.
Just for the record, he's talking about deductive preaching.
Yeah, in that realm. Thank you for making sure you clarified that.
There are other ways to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I find though that, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems like when most people are starting their preaching, that's the route they tend to go. No,
I think that's probably the route that people tend to go.
Well,
it depends on what they've been listening to, what their experience with listening to sermons is. Because a lot of people assume someone else's voice in the beginning because they're trying to emulate someone else, and it takes a little while to find your own voice.
I found my own voice yet, Melanie?
We know that you are Ken Wetmore.
Okay, just checking. Whether it's a good voice or not is up for debate, but it's a voice. So what kind of sermon was today's then?
What kind of sermon? I don't know.
You tend to do a mix and match
of inductive and deductive. Sometimes you start inductively, and then regularly you end up deductively.
Yes.
Wow.
We have to look those words up later. What all that means.
That means is I don't do it the right way.
There are lots of right ways to do it, Ken.
I do it the way that works for me.
Lots of people enjoy Ken's preaching. It didn't make the video today from our good friends Julie and Grant, but it was high praise for Ken Wetmore. So there you go. I think we
hear it often.
Randy, we need to talk about why that didn't make the video.
I think we should talk to Melanie because I was already. Well, it was two people. So
no, I actually applaud you.
It was two people. So I'm like,
there's no defense needed.
How long do I get for a video? When usually with one, it's like two and a half minutes. So
well,
like,
I will say when the video came in this morning at 4:15 a.m., I did have a slight heart attack when I saw that it was 4:11.
Two people is double the time.
Right, you know what she did?
Get five.
You know what she did? She came up to me 10 minutes before the service begins and tells me, "You only have 21 minutes to preach because the video is 4 minutes." And I was like, "Too late."
Yeah, this is interesting. If I go tell him, "Hey, you've got an extra 5 minutes," he's like, "I got this." If I say, "You got 21 minutes this week," he says, "I can't do this."
It's true.
It won't work.
It's way easier to add.
It's easier to take that one extra turn.
It's like, once you start making pancake mix and you put some M&Ms or whatever into that pancake mix, it's not, M&Ms? You don't get to go backwards.
That's a great metaphor.
Tell me more about this M&Ms and pancakes.
Oh, so... veering widely off. So, okay, this is actually a thing with my kids and I.
Okay.
I am famous in my family for making the most unhealthy pancakes on the face of the earth. So I put candy, and I have literally tried every candy you can imagine in a pancake, including gummy worms.
Wow.
That didn't work as well. Just, okay. But you're welcome to give it a shot. And if you have some ideas for me, I still keep thinking that gummy worm has to work out at some point. But
You know what might work?
Tell me.
What are the, they have Nerd gummies.
The
gummies with the little crunchies.
You're right.
Those are so
good. A great idea. I will give that a shot.
Ellie, Ellie's can have you for lunch today.
I know. Ellie loves those things. And so she brought like 2 bags back from college. And I sat down on the couch and I was watching a show. And all of a sudden I'm like putting my hand in the bottom of the bag and it's gone. And I was like,
oh, that's the worst feeling.
I ate the whole
bag. They're so good.
Yeah, they're so good. I love those crunchy things. Crunchy, it's a good
one. So anyway, in my family, when the kids would have birthdays, and in fact, my daughter actually had a brunch birthday so that dad could make pancakes for all of her friends. Because my favorites are Andy's Candies. Those work out really great
in
pancakes. So it's more of a mint flavored pancake. And then
I make those in caramel too. Have you tried that caramel and the crunch?
I haven't tried that. No, but
wondering.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
And then I really like putting Reese's Pieces.
In there,
and then you put a little bit of applesauce over that, and you can say it's healthy, right?
Yes.
Is that how that works? That's the way I say it.
I mean,
works.
Applesauce on pancakes is a must.
I agree.
Especially if it's homemade, put twice as much.
I also make a pretty good blueberry compote. That's,
a la mode?
I mean, you can.
I mean, should you not? I mean, is there another way to do compote? I mean, the compote probably isn't as, gotta have ice cream, sorry.
When is the next potluck? So
when's the next potluck?
Not soon enough, I can tell you that right now.
Or when's lunch? I mean, it's
I used to actually make pancakes for my family on Sabbath mornings, but now that I have to be at the church by early to do a walkthrough, that doesn't happen.
That's not it.
Glaring at Melanie or anything.
No judgment here.
My family are upset, but whatever.
Hey, I still get here a good half hour before you do, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, was it just my upbringing? Serious question. But when did the idea of everyone being a preacher of the gospel become more mainstream? I mean, and that's not a fair question here at Whole Life, because I feel like that's something that's kind of in our DNA. But it always seemed like a holy rite that was given to somebody, and it wasn't you because you didn't do all the school, you didn't do all the things. So maybe you should just listen, and then if someone needs to talk, make sure they go talk to the pastor.
Well, at the very beginning of Christianity, it was everybody's responsibility and everybody was asked to go do it. And that's the way things were going. And then as will happen in an organization, things start to become more structured and things you start creating structure. And so as the early church matured into the older church, they created positions for priests and pastors and so on and so forth. And you started creating a professional clergy that were responsible for interpreting the Bible. And again, back in that time period, it wasn't like there was a Bible in every home. This is before the printing press. And so there was only a few places you could go to really study the scriptures and study how that was. And so you had a professional clergy that would then share. Prior to that, it was verbal. And that's why, a lot of people think that like Christianity as we experienced it today is the way it was experienced 100 years after Christ. And it wasn't. Because Christianity was mostly verbal, with obviously some letters from Paul, but there were letters from other people as well. And so there was a lot of different directions that Christianity went in the years right after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection.
And lots of different ideas too.
Very much so. I mean, probably the most well-known are the Gnostics. But basically, again, as these fights for what would become, is heterodoxy the right word for that? Or am I getting my words confused?
Sure.
Doesn't help when the person I count on to tell me whether.
Wow, that was, your poker face is getting better over there.
Anyway, basically as the church was trying to kind of figure out who it was going to be and what would become mainstream, what would become the official position of Christianity. And that's what would become Catholic. Okay. And so, and
Catholic
when we think,
in terms of
correct
big C and small C.
Right. So there's the Catholic denomination faith, but then Catholic means universal. And so basically what was going to become the universal expression of Christianity, and it kind of got wrapped up in the Nicene Creed that's voted on. And then we start experiencing Christianity, but at the very beginnings of Christianity, everybody knew it was their responsibility to spread the good news. When Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world," he wasn't just talking to the 12. He was actually talking to all his followers, and there were more than 12. And so it was. And so I think what we're seeing now, what I'm hopeful for, is a return to what I believe was Christ's main idea, that each one of us has a responsibility to share the good news in the world that we live in and to let people know that they can have peace with God, that they don't have to live in fear, that God is for you, not against you. And that's something that we can all do. I'm still a big fan of paid clergy. I appreciate being paid to do the job that I get to do.
Yeah.
And I think in the world we live in, things adapt and things evolve and things grow. And so it's and yet I think that a paid clergy should never get in the way of every person who is a follower of Christ sharing their faith with the world around them and sharing what Jesus is doing in their life. Mm.
No, I like that, because kind of following up on it is all of our responsibilities, but then it seems like now, maybe more than ever, and again, I think Whole Life does this really well, and maybe not all churches, but that your story may be the best and most authentic version of Jesus that someone that thinks like you or resonates with you somehow or connects with you is ever going to, maybe it's the easiest entry point to say, who's this Jesus? Because just like the story you shared a couple of how just learning about Jesus and learning the good news just changes people's lives. And, you know, in the chat today, Dale Wilson was one of our online worship hosts. And after Grant and Julia's video played for their baptism this morning, he said their story truly moved me. And he had his own story up on the screen from his TikTok that you had played. And he's like, well, I didn't know I was going to be, you know, part of everything. But he's like, it also puts me into.
Now, wait a minute, Dale. I have a text message that proves that I have.
No,
I don't want people to be afraid, because
no,
if you send me videos, I do not just show them without your permission.
In fairness, I may have read that wrong, but I thought that's what he said. I'll have to go back and double check. So just
maybe
I don't think he knew which part of the sermon
was
going to be used. But he sent me a video last week of his return to TikTok and said, "Hey, I just want you to know what I'm doing." And so I was like, "This is so cool." And this is actually one of the things that was kind of cool about being able to preach the good news this week, is that I said, I'm just going to add that in. I had Don and Sue before, but I thought I'm going to put Dale in there too, because that's really cool to see one of our church members talking about how they've found peace with God and how they've been able to translate what it was like before they were in a deep relationship with Christ to what it looks like now.
I think Grant and Julia, and especially Grant's story too, you never know. I mean, they were in Brazil. He was watching Amazing Facts and Doug Batchelor, and then they got to meet. And like this whole story of what it took to get baptized was this really cool journey that for people that, you know, go to church here and are part of this community, you could just kind of see the progression come through. And then, you know, when he just at the end is like, Jesus is my everything. I mean, like what else is there? And you know what a story to truly, like Dale said, to move that.
And I think part of it that maybe didn't quite make it into the video is that Grant really didn't come from a spiritual background. And for him, it was Juliana had come from a Christian background, kind of a committed in church kind of upbringing and where she was at, but that wasn't really Grant's experience prior. And so for him, this was all.
Right.
Wonderful.
And it was Julia's story that really brought, you know, that reeled him in. And then, you know, then he started searching. And I know it's always tough to get everything into a couple minutes. He kind of challenged everyone at the end to, you know, to be the, and this is probably my paraphrase, but to be the good news in a world that honestly, you really can't compete with that message. The message you have is far superior, even, you know, that we're broken.
Yeah.
That news is as good as it gets to anyone when you stop and think about it, and it's in your power to do it. And that's, it can seem like a weird challenge depending where you are in your walk sometimes. Like, I don't think this is my place to do it. But man, I think if you watch the message today and you see the people that were like, yeah, it is. And even without saying it is, it's just how I'm living my life. It's who I am. It's what I have become since finding the good news. That's that makes it really personalizes it and brings it home. So, hey, Lucas, I think we had a couple questions today, didn't we?
Yeah, we got two questions here. So the first one was from Tammy. I love the idea of knowing God is greater than all things and situations, and that definitely brings me peace. However, if our commission is to bring God's kingdom to our world, what is our responsibility to actively do that in the current climate?
Hmm. Yeah, I get that tension because I think there are a lot of people who look at our world and say, yep, pretty broken, but nothing I can do about it. So let's just wait till Jesus comes and Jesus will fix it. So there's a tension between this hope, this idea that one day this will be solved. But there's also the fact that we've been put here for a reason. And, you know, Jesus was here to destroy evil. And I feel like as followers of Jesus, that's what we're called to do too. Even if we can only do it, you know, in smaller ways, we can't solve the whole problem, we can solve the smaller problems that we come in contact with.
I think it's on us to do with what is within our reach and our ability. Mm-hmm. There's a really worn out sermon illustration where there's a little boy walking on the beach and he's throwing starfish back into the ocean. And this old man comes up and says, "What do you think you're doing? There's thousands of these things on the beach. You're not going to be able to save them all." And the little boy says, "Yep." And he picks up another one, goes, "But I can save this one," and throws it in. So I think that for us, the question is, what is within my reach and what am I able to do? When I see injustice, do I speak up? Do I not just speak up, but do I actually do things that will help work against that injustice? When I see somebody hungry, do I try to help feed them? When I see somebody thirsty, do I try to give them something to drink? When I see somebody who's in jail, do I go and visit them? You know, those things that Jesus talked about the sheep and the goats. Am I trying to make the world that I'm in a better place? And maybe I'm not going to change the political climate, and maybe I'm not going to remove all the hate from the world, but what little thing can I do to make my sphere of influence a better place?
Well, and there's an expectation too. It's not just, I think I will do this good thing for my community, and God kind of pats you on the head and says, thanks for being extra, you know. There's an expectation that you are going to engage. And I just showed this to Ken yesterday because I was reading my my Bible thing for the day, which I'm a little bit behind on, but this text came up that said, rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die. Save them as they stagger to their death. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts and he sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. Mm. I thought, oof.
What is that from?
That's from Proverbs.
Wow. Yeah, that's a...
Is that the message?
Proverbs 24. It's NLT.
NLT?
The part before the right before the end, where God... What is it? What did you say? That he knows...
God understands all hearts and he sees you.
Understands all hearts.
And he who guards your soul knows you knew.
I like the part... Well, the
so last, show up.
Yeah, the last part's a little, right? But also, if you pair that with the earlier... God knows your heart. I feel like too often we compare our hearts to gifts that others have that we want. Like, but that person, they're really compassionate. Like, you can feel their empathy in a good way too. Not the bad kind of empathy where you sometimes cringe a little bit, like, okay, that's plenty, too much. But like, they do it in the most amazing way and healing way possible. Like, wow, that is a gift from God. I wish I had that. And then when you don't, or an opportunity provides itself and you don't get it right, or you're like, man, that didn't sound as good coming out as it was in my head, or how it feels in my heart. But knowing that, like, this is telling us God understands your heart. He knows what your gifts and what you're good at. And, you know, it may be that this was one that's just going to feel a little awkward to you. But
yeah,
it's
and it says don't excuse yourself by saying, yeah, well, we didn't know, because you know. And I think there are so many different ways to show up. You know, yeah, you might be showing up with that empathetic heart for somebody, or, you know, you might show up with your money. Your money might show up if you can't, you know, protest. Go make sure that you are doing something.
Yeah. And I think the easy ones are also sometimes the ones that are also the easiest to bypass. You know, like the person that if you, you know, Saturday night, a lot of times you could stop. I mean, I kind of like Waffle House, so I'm just, you know, just
excellent.
Just say, wow, say what you can and what you need to, and then that's fine.
You and I need to go. I've never been to Waffle House with you.
I know. Well, that's right. We've never. Yeah, Waffle
we need
House.
To do that.
Judge not, lest you be judged.
It's my birthday. Maybe we should all go to lunch on Wednesday and go
is
to
your,
Waffle House.
Your birthday is Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll go to Waffle House.
The only way that, but so do we go Wednesday at 1 a.m.
Yes.
Because that is the best time to go to Waffle House.
You know, the thing about Waffle House is that's like, it's my kind of people. I just like everyone from every walk of life. You can see somebody with a suit and a tie sitting in the corner. And
that's
can,
a little rare, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I don't know. Depending on which one you go to. Like, I've been to the one in Apopka plenty of times and seen people dressed really nicely. And oh, and then yet you'll find people that, like, look, it's you can get a really reasonable amount of food for a reasonable amount of money still.
Have you ever tried to get behind the counter and serve?
Well,
it's really hard.
It is. Well,
they don't, but I know someone who did.
We used to go get our own
I've
coffee
got
at a pop.
Is there a mugshot of you somewhere
what?
That we don't?
Yeah, I mean, is there? Can't, who did?
We're not going to talk about this too far, but we're just saying that this was when I worked at, when I was running Indian Creek Camp. One of our goals as a staff was to try to get them to let us go behind and flip a pancake or the waffle. Hash waffle or hand, they didn't know pancakes, whatever. It's not the point. Ignore me. The hash, the smothered covered or capped or yeah, just to prove that I actually know what I'm talking about. But yeah, anyway,
yeah,
try to get, nobody ever accomplished it, but one of my staff members did, and he brought pictures back and the rest of us.
Or like
you are a legend.
Folklore wow. Legend.
Legend.
Yeah. No, we used to go to, when I was at another church that shall remain nameless, we used to go to post-production meetings at Waffle House every month.
We should do that.
Yep. And we would go to the Apopka location, and we got to know the manager really well. And when they were, you know, sometimes it happens, a little short-staffed, and like, can we? And he's like, just go get it yourself.
Oh,
so
that's
he'd let us go and grab our extra coffee if we needed to. Like, it's just right there. I mean, it's an open walkway. So anyway.
So is this what you want for your birthday, Randy?
You know, this is a guy that doesn't need much. I'm hoping to have my Harley back by my birthday. So here's Pedro, if you're listening. You're not, but Pedro, please. But, you know, a lot of times people will show up at Waffle House and you're just like, I can't tell you how many times people, and maybe it's one of the reasons I like to go, because God will bring people to Waffle House that he might not bring to other places. This is my conviction.
I guarantee it.
Because I believe, again, it's a reasonable meal, and you can get full on not a ton of cash. And the other one is, I really feel like the people that go there will be like, look, anyone that goes to Waffle House will buy you a meal if you need one.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things is like when we were in last time it was, I was there, we were in Daytona, and they actually threw the man out of the restaurant because he didn't have a shirt on, but he was just, there's a repeat, you know, person that hangs out there. And I said, do you need food? And he's like, I would love food. I'm like, order anything on the menu you want. He's like, they won't let me inside. I'm like, how come? He's like, I don't have a shirt. We were at the beach. I'm like, this one is wet. It probably doesn't smell that great, but if you'd like to wear it, come on inside. And they said, you can't bring him inside. I'm like, sure I can. You said he couldn't come in because he didn't have a shirt. Now he's got a shirt. Eat him. That man ordered $32 worth of food. And he took some of it to go. And I'm like, no, 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 pack up. You need some for later. Take some. You know, he played it. He played it smart. So
yeah.
Good for him. So anyway, that was like.
Did they have to shut down afterwards because they were out of food? Is that?
I don't know. They kept bringing boxes out. And I said, just let me know when you've got all this stuff done and, you know, whatever, when you want me to pay for it. And he's like, no, you can pay for it when you get to, we'll bring two checks out to you.
That's awesome.
And it's
so
just like,
did he get the food and the shirt?
He took the shirt. And it was, you know, and that's like something.
Is it a Whole Life shirt?
It wasn't, unfortunately. No. They didn't have one.
Yeah.
To me, that's the easy one. Someone needs a meal, right? Like, most of us can afford to help someone out when they need a meal, or like Ken mentioned, like water or people long. I always try to keep, I hate giving out hot water because I like my water with ice. So I'm always feel bad if I'm like, I've got this water that's 185 degrees. It's been in my truck, but you can have it if you're thirsty, you know? But
I think that's a good example of all of us being different, because there are some people who are really good with finding something in front of you, you know, like someone who, you know, is experiencing poverty or maybe homelessness or whatever and needs something right now. But then there are also people who are chipping away at the kinds of, you know, systemic injustices and the systemic problems that lead people to those situations. So I think there are lots of different ways to plug in and work.
It's, you know, even if it's just being a part of, you know, like here, we're on the podcast. One of my favorite things is, people, this criminal justice reform. And I support a couple podcasts with monthly donations that do good work, have gotten people exonerated. And so, like you said, find the thing that, you know, really gets you going and you want to be a part of, and go for it.
Yep.
Love it. Be a part of it. Go be the good news. And then just know that, you know, Jesus has got it. Be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That was worth repeating this week, just like last week. So are we...
You better ask Ken a question. He's misbehaving.
That's it. That's the questions.
I thought there was a second one.
Oh, no, we have one more.
That's right. We have a second one.
Sorry.
This one was from Stanley. Often we pair Jesus saves all who believes with you are a sinner and you're going to hell. How do we keep the good news from turning into bad news?
So I think that love is a better motivator than fear. I think that when you try to scare the literal hell out of people, it's less effective than some preachers would like to think it is, because there's only so long that fear will motivate you. But love is a much better long-term motivator. And so I would say that as Christians, when we go share the good news, it's not that the good news is not... I want to make sure I say this the way I want to say it. The good news is about an amended relationship with God. It's a lot less about heaven and hell. And I think sometimes we try to make the good news about either not going to hell or going to heaven and walking on streets of gold and being able to fly and and the reality is, the good news is that God wants to have a relationship with you, and you, like any other relationship, have to choose whether you want to be in relationship or not. But God has already decided. God wants a relationship with you. God won't force a relationship on you that you don't want, but God desperately is in love with you and wants you to love him and be in relationship with God. And so that's, to me, the power of the good news. It's not about skipping hell or getting into heaven. The beauty of heaven is it's eternity with somebody you love. Mm-hmm. It's with God, and whatever that looks like is going to be great because I love God, not because it's this reality that I've conjured up in my human mind to think of, well, this would be really great. Rather, it's just this relationship, and that truly is the good news. So that would be my answer to Stanley.
Well, and I think it's also interesting to note that the concept of hell has developed over time. So there's this really interesting book called The History of Hell. And
all right.
Yeah.
Hell's got a just
Most of the Old Testament doesn't really have a concept of hell. Hell is sort of a later development, so.
Gehenna?
Yeah, that's a later development.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I read it in the Old Testament.
Well, Gehenna was a specific place where they were basically they burned trash or they burned like so that Gehenna
right.
was not Wasn't originally hell. Gehenna was a different thing that was later compared.
And then what about what is so then Sheol?
Sheol is the grave.
Hmm. All right. Sermon series coming up, Melanie Bachman.
I think we need to know more about this because I didn't know.
The history
of
hell in three parts.
I know hell doesn't have...
Oh, great question.
That actually would be kind of fun.
Speaking of that, that's well, let's plug that again. Great question. It was in last week's show notes.
This is not the time to plug that. We were talking about Melanie doing a series on this topic.
Send me your well-crafted question, melanie@wholelife.church, and it may appear in Ken's
And the truth is, it doesn't even have to be well-crafted. Melanie will go ahead and make sure that it's crafted great. So.
That, yeah, you're not
wrong. You can just do one word. Make him preach on hell, and she'll go ahead and put the rest of that question together for you. Don't worry about it.
I got you. I got you.
No, she will extrapolate as needed. I love it. What else? We got Connected upcoming on the 13th. Well, there's two parts. There's some stuff on Friday, and then there's stuff on Saturday as well. Wholelife.church/connected. I'll leave that. That's in the show notes last week as well. And then this week, as promised, we made some major progress on Slack. And so I think if we can figure that out, I'll work on that before Wednesday. And so we will have it'll be a totally external channel. We were discovering the differences between Discord and Slack. While they look and operate a lot the same, there's a lot that doesn't. So I think we finally have that one figured out. So we'll have that for you because I want you guys to see this from the email.
Yeah, it's
this
beautiful.
Wonderful backyard where you can just beautiful. Totally see us. With some of those good treats, like DoorDash and some coffee and some good treats while we...
I feel like you need to to just tape that up somewhere to give us inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so we can feel like we're there.
I think we'll put it on the door here in the studio and just leave it here just so we can kind of go, yeah, that would be a good idea. So also...
The other thing we want to plug is the town hall meeting. We're going to be talking about the next... the first decade of the next 100 years at Whole Life. What does God have in mind for Whole Life and as a... church family coming together discussing that. There's been a lot of work that's been done by a large group of people to really say Whole Life has been on a fantastic trajectory. What is the next 10-year trajectory? How do we build off of that? How do we continue to grow and be what God wants us to be? And so we're really excited for that and hope that on September 6th, you'll make time to be at Whole Life at 7 o'clock.
I think it's 7.
7 o'clock in
6:30?
The evening. No, I think 7. It's 7. It's,
well, it depends on where you look. There's a little bit of
discrepancy.
We're
saying 7. Okay. So we'll make sure our discrepancies get changed.
We'll change it right now. So before you hear this, we'll make sure it's the right
one. Because I think you said 6:30 in the announcement video.
Did I really?
No, I don't know. Okay, never mind. We'll carry on.
Well, he says 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We got plenty of time.
Aha, Melanie.
We'll let you know.
I got it right.
Well, yeah, and things are in the works. I don't know, Ken. Did you happen to see that?
I have not seen that. Where did that come in? Did you just make that? That is hilarious.
It's in the next one.
So
I don't know if that completely works. I look like I'm having too much of a good time myself. So,
I love that
picture though. That's
as a
awesome.
Sneak peek.
Is that a screenshot?
Yeah,
from the video.
That is
Ken
awesome.
And Andy were together yesterday for a brief moment. We had a lot of fun. So you'll find out more about that at the town hall. So you don't want to miss it. There'll be lots of people that are participating in this that you're going to want to see. So make sure you take
I think that. You. I think what you should do for our podcast listeners is something that we used to do at our news station. We would do screenshots like this off of politicians and people we interviewed. And then we would stick the picture up on the wall in our office, and whoever got the best caption would win something. So
I think
you should put that on social media or somewhere.
Yeah, tune in.
If Andy's okay with it. And I think we should do a caption contest for who can come up with the best caption for that picture.
What were they talking about?
Awesome.
That's the best caption wins.
Well, we can, so you can see the picture. We'll get that into the new Slack, and we'll put the invitation out there. So we'll make that
happen.
Send
me that picture. I love that picture. I want.
Yeah. And then I think next week is Voices of Whole Life.
Voices of Whole Life.
Our third installment this year.
Third.
Denise Butler.
The penultimate.
I was waiting
You're welcome.
For, you're, no, I wasn't going to step on that
you,
one.
I knew you were waiting for
I'm
it.
I'm not going to step on penultimate. That's the that's yours. So what is she preaching on? Melanie, you know.
She is preaching on Remember, and she's referring to some special psalms that were for a particular purpose. So she's going to unpack that for us.
Remember.
Excellent. All right. Guys, lots happening. You can always go to wholelife.church/events. That's in the show notes as well, but easy to remember. Go there. Make sure you don't miss anything. We got lots of stuff going in. We really, especially runners and walkers, we want 300 walkers. For the 6K.
You know what? Rollers. Because we've got people that, that come in wheelchairs and
do it.
Rock, roll, or walk.
That's it. But if we could do so, like just two of our events are like 450 volunteers, and we need a total of 700. So September 1st, the rest will come out at wholelife.church/connected. That's in the notes as well. So stop by and find something for you and your family to do. They'll be updated shortly for the rest. But you can also do the walk and something else if you'd like to.
You should do the walk and then go do something else. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So hopefully we can turn those 300 into another trip towards those, and we can fill every last one. It'd be so cool to fill every last piece.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, everyone that's got an opening. Okay, that's going to do it. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a fantastic week.